We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Awesome. Do you know, things change sometimes, don't they? Thank you, Joseph. They do change. And so I'm sitting at the front. We're looking at things. I'm talking to Phil and going, Phil, God has come and done some other things this morning. What are we going to do? Because I know the importance of the message that is sitting on your heart. And I want to honor Phil in doing that. But I also, you know, want to give that message time, because I know how vital is what he's prepared. So we're just going to push that message 1 week. Because we don't want to rush it, and we don't feel like there's a comma in the message halfway. Otherwise, you might go home with some unanswered questions. I seem to have a lot of things in my pocket this morning, but there we go, keys out. And which has an adverse effect on everybody else who's sitting there going, actually, I was preaching the week after, and I was preaching the week after that, and I was preaching the week after that. It's okay, don't panic, we'll figure it out. So it'll be fine. You can all preach at the same time, and whatever you want to listen to, you can listen to. But let me just share this with you this morning, because people are going, have you got something? I'm like, the Lord always has something. Do you know what? Always be prepared. Always be prepared in season and out of season, because God will use you. In Francois and Roma's journey, I don't know why really we applied for these licenses to the government to allow other people from other nations to come work in our nation and be ministers of the gospel. Do you know that a government allows us to invite religious workers into our nation to work for the gospel? Do you know that? And I applied for a license thinking we won't get it, and we got a letter last week. Graham got a letter. I just read it. It said, bam, you've got the license. I'm like, oh man. And suddenly Francois and Roma rock up and go, you know what, we don't know how we're going to get into Scotland. I'm like, I think God may know how you can get into Scotland. And I think we may be able to help a little bit in that journey. So God does things even in your preparation. You don't know what you're preparing for. He's going to do something. But can I just read this scripture to you? Luke chapter 23. Lucy, if you're really good over there, you can try and follow me. But if not, just turn there in your Bibles. Luke chapter 23, it says this. This is Jesus before Pilate. He says this, then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. Jesus is in this place now. There's a trial going on. And if you dig a bit deeper, you know that the trial is really not legal for what should be taking place at this time. And so Jesus is standing before. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the right time to do it. It shouldn't be actually happening. But Jesus is brought before Pilate. And then they began to accuse him, saying, so it's like you guys bringing somebody before Graham as the elder and start accusing this person and throwing your comments at him. It says, and then they began to accuse him. We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. When somebody throws accusations at somebody else or about somebody else, please make sure you know what the real truth is. Don't carry what you have in an opinion and pass it on to somebody else, because suddenly the story gets elaborated to something bigger than it is. Take the time, if you really want to know, to go to the person and actually come and say, what really happened? What is the deal? But don't pass on stories, come with truth. Notice what they're saying here. They begin to just throw accusations around. And Pilate, this is the chief honcho here, asked him, this is Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Verse 3. And he answered him, you said so. Meaning, yeah, I'm the deal. You said this. Then Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no guilt in this man. Over, finished, trial done, release him, let him go, it's done. But they were urgent, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching and throughout all Judea from Galilee even to this place. You know, people will begin to throw mud again. No, we don't want to let him off. Do you remember that thing they did? What about this thing? You know, Jesus comes to each one of you right now, and he's not waiting for the crowd to tell him more about you. He knows everything about you, and he says, I set you free. He says, I release you. He says, I forgive you. He says, whatever you've done, regardless of whatever the steps are, I still say you can walk into freedom. I still say your sins are forgiven. I still say that no longer you have to be in the miry clay, you can come out. I still say I'm going to turn your ashes to beauty. I still say, but we choose to listen to the voice of the crowd in the next accusation instead of the voice of God going, you're free. You're free and you can walk out of this place free until you carry on listening to the voice of the crowd. Oh, well, I've just got to please the crowd. No, you don't got to please anybody. The only thing we're called to do is honor our King and our Savior. And in pleasing Him, He actually causes the crowd to disappear in those places. But when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was Galilean. If you do your digging and you know, Jesus was not Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, the people are starting to talk about this. They kind of generalize. Have you ever been around people who start to widen the truth? Don't widen the truth. Don't escalate the scale of the lie. Don't make it bigger just because you want to put accusation on somebody. People will broaden the story around you. And they will make it. We use words like, you've never done, or you always do, and we broaden this truth so far or this lie so far that suddenly we actually forget the breakthrough moments and we just remember this cloud of darkness that sits over us. And he said, you're part of Herod's jurisdiction. He sent him over to Herod. I'm not dealing with this Pilate anymore. I can get this thing off my hands now. And he sends him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. Not my problem, your problem now. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. Verse 9, so we questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. You couldn't find the issue here. And so suddenly Jesus is back in the very place that he started with, and he's back at the place that I think really Jesus is there to touch Pilate's life in this whole scene. Jesus is there to look Pilate in the eyes and say, what are you going to do about me in your life? And I think Jesus comes today into our lives and he says, what are you going to do about my grace and my love and my mercy? What are you going to do with it when I'm standing before you? Are you going to chuck me away and send me to Herod? Or are you going to actually invite me back and listen to my story? Now we know that this story is written before. We know God put this in place, that Pilate was going to do what he was going to do. And verse 12, watch this, strange bedfellows. As Graham says, and Herod and Pilate became friends. It's interesting who becomes mates in adversity. It's interesting in a church when one person gets a bit of an issue, how they find another person with the same issue. It's interesting in the world how we gather around people with the same problems. Why do we walk into society and we find groups of people gathered around some issue or something? We somehow find each other. Do you know what? You want to find people you want to get free, find people of freedom. Hang around them and suddenly it starts to rub off you. You have to actually walk away from those and walk into these places. And they became friends with each other that very day. What a quick friendship. Do you know what we've got in common? Something bad. Woohoo, we're mates. Real deep stuff going on there. For before this, they had been in enmity with each other. They didn't even like each other. Now they love each other. They didn't really love each other. But be careful what we find common ground on. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading. Verse 14, the people, and after examining before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Let him go, Pilate. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I therefore will punish him and release him. You know, I'm going to try and please you, crowd. Do you know what? If you try and please the wrong crowd, they will demand more than you can offer. They will keep demanding and keep demanding when you try and please the wrong crowd, because one time won't be enough, a second time won't be enough, a third time won't be enough, and they'll keep coming and they'll keep coming. The moment you set foot in that place where you're pleasing the wrong crowd, the demand will keep increasing all the time. All the time. But they all called out together, away with this man and release Barabbas. We don't want the Savior. We don't want the person who sets us free. We don't want King. We want the criminal. We want the guy who's done the worst of the worst. Why? Because the crowd keeps demanding. When you listen to the voice of the crowd, it'll keep demanding. When you listen to the voice of the King, he will keep giving. What do you want to be, supplied, or do you want to be demanded of? I want to be supplied. I want to have an overflowing within me. I don't want to be sucked dry. Do you know how you know when you're being demanded of? And I see this every day, is when the anxiety we talked about earlier, it rises. The uncertainty. You're not quite sure what to do in the next moment. You become irritable. I know when something is pulling on me that shouldn't be pulling on me, because my countenance changes. My peace goes. My words with Leah disappear, because I'm being demanded of in an arena that actually should not be demanding what it is demanding in that moment. A man who'd been thrown into prison, verse 19, for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Honestly, let's stand here with common sense. Savior of the world, preach a gospel, heal the people, caused a riot, murder. Which one? It shouldn't even be a contest. It shouldn't even be an issue. And sometimes we're being pulled into places where we're standing there, Jesus going, I am not hiding anything behind my back. I'm revealing it in front of you. I've got life and life in abundance. And we still come over here to Satan going, come, let's play. Oh, and by the way, I'll show you at the end. I'm going to kill, steal, and destroy. And we still walk in these two platforms. Pilate addressed them then once more, desiring to release Jesus. No, I want to walk in freedom. No, we got to get out of this place. But here's the shout. It comes. Crucify, crucify, crucify. And it gets louder, and it gets louder, and it gets louder. And do you know what? The voice of the church diminishes and diminishes and diminishes because we allow other things to demand our attention, church. Even the church, Liberty Church today, we will get distracted by all sorts of good deeds and good things and great stuff to do. No, we want to walk in what God has called us to do. We're not here to compare with another church. We're here to complete each other. We're not here to do what they do because they do that. And we know we're actually called to do what we do and come together as a beautiful body. I can't wait for the 22nd of September when we're going to worship together. This week, we stood on the steps of those. Well, we actually stood under the tree because we wasn't sure it was going to rain or not. But we stood in that civic center and we prayed together as churches together again. And we declared God's goodness together as church. I don't care if one person or 500 people turn up. But we're going to break ground that hasn't been broken in our city for a very long time. Not me, us. We're a we. Please don't communicate with an I. Communicate with a we. Because you're not doing anything on your own. We're doing this thing together. We are standing there in a place together. And they cried, crucify, crucify. A third time he said to him, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt. Deserving death, I will therefore punish and release him. I'll give him a few smacks and let him go. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. We know Jesus had to walk that out. But that does not mean Jesus went to a cross so that you can allow voices just to continue to prevail in your life. He went to the cross to die so that those voices don't have to prevail. He faced the prevailing voice and took the punishment and laid his body on the line so we don't have to sit there and allow the prevailing voice to overcome who we are. You may sit there and go, man, if I was Pilate, I would have let him go. Really? I've sat and said that. And then situation comes. And I don't walk into his freedom and I stay in the captivity. And do you know what? I bring Jesus to a place and say, I'm not going to release you in my life, Jesus. I'm actually going to hold you down. And I believe it's just a picture of Jesus coming in and going to Pilate and saying, what are you going to do in this situation? And even when Pilate said, I just want to push you to the side. Somebody else deal with this. It doesn't take place like that. Jesus comes back again. That guy didn't want me either. I'm back. Do you know what's incredible about Jesus? If you've never invited him into your life, make sure you want to invite him, because once he's in, he's going to relentlessly come after you. He ain't letting you go because he loves you that much. He's not backing off. Even when you say, back off, he's like, I didn't hear that. He's still coming. I don't want to know you. Yeah, you're just saying that because you're emotional. I'm still coming. I don't want you in my life. I want to do this. Yeah, you can do this. But you know, when you're in the middle of that, it's going to be my face that you see. Why? Because he's not trying to mess you up. He's not trying to spoil something. He's actually trying to release you into a place of freedom. He's actually trying to say, you can dabble with these voices and eventually they'll cry, crucify, crucify. And you think next time will be the time, but actually this time should be the time when you say no further anymore in my life. So Pilate decided that their demand, verse 24, should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder and for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. Whose will is ruling over your life? Whose will rules over the church's life? Do you know what? I'm praying for Boris in this season. Boris, serve an ace, man. Get us back together as a nation. Pray for our leaders. You may not like him. You may have a bad hairstyle. Who cares? Maybe somebody will do something that for him. Do you know what? He is called to lead in this season. But even that, right, the government does not rule the church. Jesus is head of the church. And his voice is the voice that we walk and listen to. Church, there may be days in front of you where you have to stand for your faith and be put in prison because you won't declare what they're asking you to declare. It'll never come to our nation, won't it? Are you prepared to declare your King and Lord and Savior? And then they grab you by the ear as a man and stick you in prison and leave your family sitting there. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I can't tell you that it'll never happen. But there's no voice higher than the voice of Jesus. And Pilate gave in to that voice. Do you know how we know what the voices are that are coming against us as a people? Ask the Holy Spirit and get good people around you. Heath, that's tough. No, it's really simple, isn't it? But why is it so difficult sometimes when the prevailing voices? There are moments when I need somebody to speak and say, Heath, listen, sober up, wake up, because these are the voices that are coming against you. And I can choose and look at them. You're human. What do you know? I'm going to do my own thing. And Pilate stands in that place. In other parts of the gospel, it says he washes his hands. I don't want this on me, but I do want you to know I just try to let him go free. And I feel like in this season that God's going, when my son is standing at you and looking at you, will you allow him the freedom in your life to do the things that he has positioned himself to do? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you? Will you allow the people that he's placed in your life to speak in, to pray with you, to walk with you? And will you push the voices that are coming in to the side and say no further and no more? Because they will demand and they will demand and they will demand and they'll keep on demanding. And when you say one more time, next time I'll get out. There's no next time sometimes to get out, but they keep demanding. They keep coming. Pilate listened and came to a right conclusion in the beginning, but he didn't follow it through. Strange bedfellows, Pilate and Herod became mates. I'd use that word very lightly, friends. Pilate looked at his responsibility and said, actually, do you know what? I don't want anything to do this. Go and see Herod. Let's get this thing out of here. He got rid of making a decision. Do you know the only person who can make a decision for your life is you? Nobody else could have dealt with that except Pilate. It came back to him. Pilate, what are you going to do about this thing? What are you going to do about the King and the Lord of the world, Savior, King of the Jews standing in front of you? We can't abdicate that decision. That is not a delegated moment. What are you going to do with Jesus in your life? We can stand together, but it is our choice. What will we do with him? He couldn't get rid of making the final decision. He couldn't shift the problem. He couldn't even say, well, let's just kind of move the truth and get him over there. But take courage from this. When Jesus enters your life, he's not letting you go. Isn't that amazing? Eh? He is not letting you go. And you may think you're like a nagging man. See, I didn't use woman there because we sometimes do that. Like a nagging, dripping tap of a man. Do you know what? I want Jesus to be nagging and dripping. I want him to be oozing all over me. Because when I really come to the reality and I get on my knees in my bedroom and I actually say, God, I haven't spoke well this week. God, my attitude hasn't been right. I've let other things rule. Jesus goes, I know, but I'm still here for you. I'm still here, and I'm still loving you, and we're still going to press through. Now go and ask for some forgiveness and then walk into the things I've called you to walk in. Unless you accept this, allow him to come through you and create freedom in your life, you will begin to gain new unwanted bedfellows and friends. Jesus comes again and again, and he constantly reminds us. Jesus is always there, and he's drawing. He's saying, come, come, come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This wasn't the message that was due to be preached this morning. But Jesus, you come this morning and you're saying, come. Come just as you are. There's a great song that Hillsong have written, and it says, come, leave your inhibition at the door. You know, in town on a Wednesday night or whatever, people leave their inhibitions before they even get in the taxi. Do you know what? We've got to leave our inhibitions at a door as believers. Come just as you are. It says in the song, as it says in the scriptures, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And Jesus is not going to scream and shout sometimes. He's just going to whisper. The Bible says it's in the still, small voice. It's not always in the wind and the waves and the lightning and the thunder. And however beautiful that storm was this week. It's in the still, small voice. And he asks you, when you come, won't you take those voices and stop abdicating and start taking responsibility and going, okay, Jesus knew it was going to cost him. Not just cost him a reputation, it was cost him his life. I think we preach a rosy gospel sometimes. You want to walk in the things of God? It's going to cost you. You got to lay down your life. You have to. There is no other way. I can't spruce it up for you. So, Father, I pray right now with every head bowed and every eye closed, as you've come and you've convicted my heart this morning, just in those few thoughts of the scripture. Father, you come and you remind us that I've placed Jesus so that you can walk in a freedom, church. Don't abdicate. Don't pass on responsibility. Let him walk through your life. Say to the voice, that far and no further. Say to the crowd, no, I don't care what your opinion is. You can shout, you can scream, but Jesus is King and he's Lord and he's Savior over my life. I'm going to ask you to do something brave with every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm doing this with you. I'll stand here on the floor, so I'm not above you. I'm with you. If there are areas in your life that other voices have overcome, or they're pushing to overcome, or the crowd is shouting, it may be the one voice in your head going over, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. This is it. This is this. You'll never be. You'll never be. You've missed it. You've missed it. You've missed it. Whatever. And you know it's not the voice of God, but your thoughts will start to go with it. It may be some people that keep speaking over you. Whatever that voice is, won't you stand with me? I know the voice that's trying to overcome me. I know it. I know it. And I think in a week or two's time when I go on holiday, I'm going to get rest from it. Oh, then it'll be okay. Greece will wash my voices away. It won't. It won't. It's choice. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. Some of you believe that you're not good enough to be loved. Even in marriage, you've backed off. You've backed off from intimacy with your husband and your wife because you think, I'm not sure they want me anymore. It's a voice. I don't know how many people are standing because that's not important. It's you and God. If you're overcoming and nothing comes against you and you're just absolutely flying, fantastic, amazing. Won't you stretch your hands towards somebody that really needs it right now? Just put your hands out and believe. You don't even have to look around. Father, right now as we stand here, as sons and daughters of you, I pray, God, a strength and a boldness. I pray, God, a conviction. I pray, God, a knowing that you love us and you will constantly pursue us because you think we are excellent and worth pursuing. So, God, I pray release right now from those voices. I pray, God, a renewing of our minds. And I pray a thinking on things that are good and lovely and pure and holy. I pray, God, people in our lives that will bring truth to our souls. Not pitter-patter around us, but remind us of who we are and whose we are. God, I pray for mothers and fathers in the faith who come and stand alongside and cry the tears, but also stand in the victory and say, I will not leave you and walk away from you. I'm going to walk this thing through with you. And I thank you for a breakthrough moment this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray breakthrough this morning in people's lives. Come on, let's stand together. Before we go throw water bombs at each other. Maybe that's your moment of freedom. Get soaked. Soaked in the Holy Spirit before you get soaked in water. Come on, begin to lift your hands to the King this morning and just worship Him. Lift your own voice to Him right now. Come on, the voice is telling you, don't sing too loud because the person next to you is going to laugh at you. Who cares what the person next to you is doing? Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, la 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 ba da na ba se. Oh, we worship you. You're the King and your Lord. Oh, la 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 ba da na ba sa da da. Come on, let's sing.